to work for the church or intern for the church this summer and help with a couple different programs and as well as preach a few times. And like my dad said, this will be the last time I get to preach this summer, and I do not take it lightly. It is an incredible privilege, and I look forward to every moment I have to open God's Word and study it and deliver a message. But tonight I pray that you just give me a few brief moments to share with you this message that God's laid on my heart that I think will be an encouragement to us. It's been an encouragement to me. And if you look in the book of Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 1 is where we'll start reading tonight. Joshua 6 and verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Faith. It does not make things easy, it makes them possible. The walls of Jericho were an impenetrable force to any army trying to take the city. Before even attacking the wall, the navigating troops would have to navigate their way through a 27-foot wide, 9-foot deep pit that encircled the outer edges of the city. Then there was the wall itself. Over a 17-foot high, 5-foot thick, pure mass of solid stone. If the attacking troops managed to get this far without being shot down by the archers, then there was the well-trained Canaanite army that was waiting within. This was the reality of a young leader named Joshua and the Israelite army. The Israelites, who had seen an entire generation live and die while wandering in the desert. The Israelites, who were tired and hungry and were now facing what seemed like an impossible task. A hopeless situation. Now, I haven't lived very long, but I've lived long enough to know this, that running into walls is a part of life. And the bigger the walls, the more hopeless a situation can seem. They seem impenetrable, and these walls of loss, sickness, divorce, addiction, they pop up all around us. Like the walls of Jericho, they rarely stand alone. These walls in our lives are often accompanied by a pit of pain, suffering, and despair. All the while, an army of hopelessness surrounds us and seems to bring us down. And the question is often asked, if God loves me so much and is so powerful, how can he allow these walls to pop up in my life? Now, I don't pretend to have the answer to any of these specific questions, nor do I pretend to completely understand how deep or dark your suffering has been. Tonight, I just want to simply suggest that maybe God does his best work in seemingly hopeless situations. Because when I read the Bible, I read of people and characters who all faced seemingly hopeless situations. Adam and Eve ruined paradise by inviting sin and death into this perfect world. Joseph was betrayed by his brethren and innocently thrown into prison, a hopeless case. Moses was cornered on the banks of the Red Sea with the most powerful army in the world breathing down his neck, a hopeless case. Gideon was 300 against 300,000. David stood across the valley from a bloodthirsty giant. Esther was a woman trying to gain a word with a prideful king. Daniel's roommate was a lion. His friends were thrown into an oven. Jonah messed up his job and got stuck in a whale. Peter was a coward. Paul was imprisoned. The 5,000 had no food. Timothy was too young. Lazarus was dead. Abraham was too old. The youngest son was too stupid. And the walls of Jericho were too strong. And Jesus was humiliated, hung on a cross, and buried in a tomb, bearing all hopes of a revolution that had been hoped for thousands of years. You see, everyone was ready to close the book on these stories. The end. Game over. But if there's one thing we learn from Scripture, it is that we can never place a period where God has placed a comma. Because when all of the options have been worn out, and when circumstances couldn't get worse, and when everything else has failed, get ready. Because that is exactly when God shows up. Because Joseph became second in command. And we know that the Red Seas, they parted. You see, Gideon won without lifting a weapon. Goliath's head was now on a plate. Esther spoke, and the king listened. Daniel tamed the lion. The oven felt like room temperature. Nineveh repented. 12 basketfuls were left over. Lazarus came back to life. Timothy built a church. Abraham built a family. The youngest son came home to a celebration. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and Jesus Christ came back to life. His resurrection, our resurrection. And he defeated sin and death, and the creation that was marred so many years ago is now restored for all of time. Because with God, what seems like an impossible task is not just possible, it is favorable. Because only God can turn a mess into a message. And only God can take a trial and turn it into a triumph. He can turn a test into a testimony. And a victim into a victor. Because his power is made perfect in our weakness. So let us rejoice in our trials, and hold fast to the faith which we profess. Because he who promised is faithful. He was faithful and will always be faithful. Amen. Faith. It does not make things easy. It makes them possible. Church family, I want to dive into the passage of Joshua chapter 6 tonight. I want you to just come with me on a brief journey as we look at the Israelites, as we look at this young leader, Joshua, and as they face these insurmountable walls in their life, how did they do it? How did they bring these walls of Jericho down? How did they continue for God? Well, there's three very practical steps that we can see by looking at the Israelites' life. The first step that the Israelites had to take in order to take on these walls in their life was that they had to remember. The Israelites had to remember. Turn back to Joshua chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, "And command ye them," this is God talking to Joshua, "take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Skip down to verse 21 through 24. "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Israel, the people of Israel and their leader Joshua had to do one thing before they could face these insurmountable walls in their life. They had to remember. What did they have to remember? They had to remember what God had already done in their life. This verse that is talking about taking 12 stones and putting them in the lodging place after the crossing of the Jordan River, if you're not familiar with the story, is talking about the Israelites and how God had already delivered them out of Egypt and already provided for them in the wilderness, and now they face this Jordan River that was flooded for miles across, that they needed to bring millions of people across in order to get into the promised land, the land that God had promised to give to them. And as they faced this river, they didn't know how to go around it. They couldn't go around it. They didn't know how to go over it. They couldn't go through it. And God said, take the ark, have the priests carry it, and as soon as they step in the water, I will dry the waters, I will part the waters, you will all cross on dry land. God did this miracle, and after they cross, he says, take 12 stones, one for each tribe, put them there to remember what I have done for you. And when your children grow up and come back and see these stones and ask about them, you will tell them of my deliverance, of my provision for you, and of my safekeeping of you, my providing for your safety, my bringing you into the promised land. They did this, they obeyed God, and as they came forward in their journey, they come to the walls of Jericho here in our passage. And as they face these walls in their life, and as they want to continue for God, and they want to continue to this land that they've been promised, they face an obstacle. But in order to continue on and take on this obstacle, they have to do one thing. They have to remember that God has already removed obstacle after obstacle in their life. In order to have the proper perspective of this obstacle in their life, they must remember the past obstacles. I don't know what wall you are facing today, but in order to have the proper perspective of this obstacle in your life, of this wall in your life, you must remember of the past obstacles. You must remember what God has already done in your life. Just like the Israelites had to look back and remember how God had brought them out of Egypt, had parted the Red Sea, had provided for them in the wilderness, and had parted the Jordan and let them cross that as well, we must look back in our lives and remember two things. We have to remember salvation. Amen. Our salvation. The Israelites were saved from the bondage in Egypt, and we have been saved from the bondage of sin. Amen. Jesus paid the price for our sin, and we can never forget that, because once we forget that, the walls in our life get a lot bigger. The walls in our life become insurmountable, become unconquerable, and we can never go on to receive the things that God has promised for us in our lives because we forgot. And the first step in taking down the walls in our lives and seeing them crumble is remembering. We must remember our salvation. Remember when you were a sinner. Remember when that wall of sin stood before you and God. You did not have that relationship. You did not have that peace. You did not have that purpose in your life because you hadn't accepted Jesus as your Savior. Never forget that position of vulnerability, that position where grace came down and God's love met you and you reached out and accepted Him. Never forget what God did in your life, because when you forget that, you will not be able to move on in your life. You will not be able to take down these walls that surround you, these obstacles that are in your life that you are facing every day. Remember the salvation that the Lord has given you. Remember the provision that God has given you in your life. Now, you may be saved and you might have some successful years, so to say, as a Christian under your belt. But never forget, and let me challenge you, that past success does not equal perpetual success. Just because you had a great year as a Christian, or just because you got saved and you have power over sin now, doesn't mean you will always and every day live for Christ. Doesn't mean that always and every day for the rest of your life you will have that success as a Christian. You have to remember the salvation of God, and you must remember it every day. And you must remember the provision that God has given you in your life, the grace that He has had, the blessings He has given you, because first, in order to take these walls, we must remember. Replace the time you spend rehearsing your problems with rehearsing God's promises. When you begin to rehearse problems, that's what Satan wants you to do. When you begin to rehearse the problems in your life, and begin to look at the walls and stare at the walls and focus on the walls, and that's all you think about, you forget God. You forget what He has done for you and what He wants to do for you and through you. Remember His promises. Don't rehearse your problems. God is in your past victories. He's still there, waiting for you to remember so that He can remind you, remember, I delivered you.
Yeah.
Remember, I saved you. Remember, I provided for you. He offered you salvation, and He offers you salvation from the walls in your life tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't know what news you got last week or what you're going to go into work and face tomorrow or what relationship is in your life that seems like an insurmountable wall. But the first step to taking it for God is to remember. The second step we must take is to renew. We must remember, but we also must renew. Renew what? Renew what God was doing and what He wants to do in you. Once you remember what God has done in your life and was doing, you will begin to renew your faith. You will renew two things: your passion for God and your passion for His mission. David said in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Just because you've been saved once doesn't mean you are always going to have the right spirit. I think you know that. But David got it down when he said, "God, create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit." And just like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, our theme verse, renew. He said, "Though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Are you renewing your faith, your spirit, your passion for God and His mission every day? Because without the renewal of your faith, it will grow stagnant. And without the renewal of your faith, these walls will remain standing. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you go down to verse 30, it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about not when she had received," I'm sorry, "after they were compassed about 7 days. Joshua 6 says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." You see, if you turn over to the New Testament, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 now, Jericho is hundreds and hundreds of years removed. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The falling down, the collapsing of the walls of Jericho was what was hoped for. The evidence of their faith, the evidence of God, was the collapsing of them. And we see that in order to renew our faith, we must remember. You see, the key to step two is step one. When you remember the salvation of God in your life, when you remember the provision of God in our lives, when we do that, we will renew our faith. We can do nothing but renew our faith. Our passion will begin to reignite, our passion for God and our passion for His mission. What's His mission? To bring Him glory. To reach souls for Christ. That is a great judge of what state your passion for God is in. Your passion for souls. His mission. Do you need to renew your faith tonight? The walls in your life, do they seem like you cannot take them? Do they seem that they are insurmountable? Do they seem like an impossible task? Are you facing in your life tonight a hopeless situation? Remember God's salvation. Renew your faith tonight. Christianity, when you renew your faith, will not be a ritual. You will realize that when you renew your faith, when you renew and reignite that fellowship with your Savior, Christianity is no longer a ritual, it is a relationship. And that is what Christianity is at its heart. Christianity is not a church building. It is not this place we go, this place where we dress up, this place where we put on this this facade that our life is all well. We all have walls in our life tonight. We all have these seemingly impossible tasks that we cannot face alone, that we cannot take. But we have a Savior that can. Amen. We have a God who can and who wants to take them down. If you look in Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 2. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho." God had already given the Israelites the victory. Yep. And the walls in your life that are standing right now are waiting to collapse. All God wants you to do is walk in faith. Amen. Renew your faith. Renew your passion for God. Once you remember what He has done for you, this will be automatic. We cannot allow the uncertainty of details distract us from the certainty of God's commands. Yeah. We cannot get distracted by these walls. We cannot get distracted by this army of hopelessness, by this feeling of despair or this feeling of sorrow. We can't get distracted by that. We can't get distracted by the certainty of God's commands in our life and what His Word says. Do not lose track of the sight of the command that God has for you in His Word. Don't lose track of this Bible that God has given you, that you hold in your lap right now, this love letter from God that He has written for you. Don't lose sight of it. Because when you lose sight of this, you lose sight of the victory. And when the Bible is absent in your life, when Jesus becomes absent in your life, the walls remain standing and will remain standing. Remember and renew your faith. We must remember who God is, what He's done, who we are, and what He wants us to do. We are the light of the world. Jesus has made a way for us, and mercy waits where sinners fall. Because Jesus is our victory, we can be the light of the world, and we are a city on a hill. We are a people of the Word, the salt of the earth. We are His disciples, witnesses, and Christ followers. We are children of the cross and products of the upper room, fruit of our empty tomb. We are the redeemed of the Lord, forgiven, free, and favored. We are called and chosen, and we are warriors and worshipers of Christ. Amen. Never forget who you are in Christ. Never forget that your identity is found in the cross and found in the empty tomb. And the fact is that we can have a purpose today, and we can take down these walls in our lives, and they can fall flat because God is for us, and God is with us, and He has saved us from our bondage. He has saved us from anything the world can do to us and any wall that stands in front of you tonight. Don't lose sight of your Savior. Don't lose sight of the sin He has saved you from. Remember, renew your faith. Don't forget who you are. The last step is reclaim. Reclaim. Reclaim what? Reclaim what God has already declared your victory. I got a little bit ahead of myself, but if you look back in verse 2, just like I pointed out, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." The walls of Jericho, in God's eyes, were already flat. They were already crumbled. He was waiting for the Israelites to remember. He was waiting for the Israelites to realize, hey, God brought us out of the bondage of Egypt. The God we serve parted the Red Sea when we were cornered on the banks of the Red Sea. He said, our God kept our shoes, kept our clothes, provided water, provided food for us in the wilderness, parted the Jordan River as we crossed over, and now we'll take down these walls because He has promised us a land. God has promised us provision. God has promised you love. God is in your past victories, but He is also in your future victories. But don't forget, He's also with you right now. As you face these walls in your life, you don't face them alone. Amen. You face them with the most powerful creator in the world, the giver of life. Amen. You see, you cannot worry what is in, about what's in your life because Jesus is the giver of life. We don't have to worry about what surrounds us because we know that Jesus is inside of us. We are more than conquerors because we are the children of God. Amen. So reclaim the victory that God has already given you. These walls are waiting to fall down in your life. These relationships are waiting to be mended. These struggles are waiting to be conquered. These strongholds are waiting to be pulled down. God just asks you to walk in faith. You see, I believe that the walls of Jericho would not have fallen if there was one Israelite soldier that refused to walk. If you look in the passage of Joshua chapter 6, I won't take time to read it tonight. Joshua commands the people as they walk around in formation around the city. He says, do not shout, do not speak a word. This is a city. Miles upon miles of walking in formation in silence for 7 days. And the seventh day, walking around the city 7 more times. Now, if there was a lack of faith in one soldier's heart, if there was an ounce of unbelief in one soldier's heart, do you know how easy it would be to give in as you're walking under the hot sun in all of your armor and all of your gear, walking in formation the sixth day, lack of sleep, fatigue, seeing nothing happen, those walls looming over you, to just lean over to your fellow soldier. I'm tired. Done. The commandment would have been broken. The disobedience would have been committed. But every soldier had enough faith. Every soldier remembered. They renewed their faith, and they were going to reclaim the victory that God had already given them. And just like they had to walk around the city of Jericho, God asks you to walk every day in faith. God asks you, if you want this wall to fall down in your life, if you want to see victory, walk in faith because I've already given it to you. Reclaim the victory that God has given you tonight over these walls in your life, because every miracle began with a problem. And every answer of prayer began with a need. So when you see this wall or this hopeless situation in your life, just remember there's a miracle coming. When you see these needs in your life that surround you, don't feel sorrow, feel hope. Because every answer to prayer begins with a need. Do not rehearse your problems. Rather, view problems as an opportunity and work clothes to work out as you walk in faith. Romans 8 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no wall that can separate you from our Savior, and there's no wall that can separate you from the victory that God is waiting to give you. There's no wall in your life bigger than your God. But you see, the perception of the wall in your life, the perception of the wall in my life is directly related to the perception of God in my life. Because the closer I am to God, the more I will realize how powerful He is. And the closer I am to God, the more I will realize how weak that wall is that stands in my life. But you see, the less I walk in faith, the more I walk in the flesh, the farther I get from God, the less I realize the power I have on my side and in my life. And these walls begin to seem insurmountable. And these walls and hopeless situations surround me and attack me, and I don't feel anything but sorrow, and I don't feel anything but pain and suffering. You want deliverance tonight? Look at the Israelites. Look at this young leader, Joshua, as he led the Israelites to remember what God had done in their life. As he led them to renew their faith and reclaim the victory that God had already given them. We are more than conquerors, and there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, and there's nothing that can separate you from the power of God. The same grace that is necessary for a sinner to start his journey is the same grace that is necessary for a saint to continue it. The same grace that I needed to bring down that wall of sin that stood between me and a relationship with God. The same grace that I needed to tear down this wall and the hopeless situation of a reality in hell for an eternity is the same grace I need to take down this wall that I face in my life. But don't forget that that grace and that power is more powerful than any situation you face tomorrow or have ever faced. Reclaim the victory that God has already promised you, because greater is the one within me than anyone that stands against me. Greater is he that is in me than anyone that stands against me. Nothing that comes into my life is greater than my God. No situation, no matter how sorrowful, how depressing, how painful, no situation that enters into my life is more powerful than my God and what my God can do. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7 says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Church family, we can have peace. We have a purpose because we have a promise. Jesus is alive. And the power that God offers you today is more powerful than any wall, situation, relationship, trial, test that you face in your life. Because remember, only God can turn your mess into a message. Only God can turn your trial into a triumph. Only God can make a victor out of a victim. The walls that you face in your life, the one that is on your mind right now, God says, "I've already given you the victory." He says, "Just remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done for you. Renew your passion for me and go reclaim your victory." And let us watch one by one the walls in our life fall flat for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the power that you offer us tonight. Lord, before we even had access to this power, we were nothing but lost sinners. Lord, I was nothing but a sinner on my way to an eternity separated from you in hell. I thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for meeting me with your love and accepting me into the family of God. Lord, as I look out over this church family, I cannot imagine the countless walls that stand in front of us tonight. The hopeless situations that we will face tomorrow when we wake up. Lord, I pray that you would cast out all fear, because we have a perfect love from you, our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us see these walls crumble. Lord, I pray that we would remember these three simple steps, that we would remember what you've already done for us and what you want to do through us. I pray that we would renew our faith tonight, our passion for you and your mission, and I pray that we would go out tonight and reclaim the victories that you have already given us. Lord, please help us to remember your sacrifice. And I pray that you would give us a spirit of service this week as we go out and face the walls in our life.
With head bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, "Pastor, there's a wall in my life. There's no doubt in my mind that God spoke this message. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I'd like to ask you to pray for me. I need prayer. I want to make the right decisions. I want to trust God with all of my heart. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. Would you pray for me during this invitation? God brought something to my mind immediately that I needed to hear and I need help with. Pray for me." If this is that you, just lift up your hand. Anybody like that? All right, in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have any piano playing right now. I want to pray for you, but I want you to pray for you. There's a God who invites you to remember. Remember all that he's done. There's nothing on this earth that he cannot do for you. And because he sent Jesus Christ to die for you, there is nothing, if it's God's will, there's nothing on this earth that he won't let you be victorious over. Because he's given you the victory. Perhaps the victory hasn't come because you haven't walked the wall. You see, faith without works is dead. Oh, they could have said, okay, God's given us the land, and why do we need to walk? God said, because it's my plan. You've got to trust me for everything, but you're also going to have to obey me in what you're doing. Maybe if you are going to see your wall fall, there's some things that you need to be doing that God wants you to contribute. Watch this. There's no one that's lost in your life that cannot be saved. If maybe perhaps you would just obey. There's no relationship that can't be restored. It's already been restored in God's economy by his grace. He's just looking for somebody to obey. There's no marriage that can't be healed. There's no gulf that can't be spanned. There's no mountain that cannot be climbed. But all of it requires faith and obedience. We sang about it today at the end of our service. Trust and obey. Father, I pray for our church family tonight, especially these that raised their hands. I pray that you'd help them. I don't know what they're facing, God. In many cases, I have no idea what the trial is. I have no idea what the hindrance is. But you do. You put it there. You allowed it to come so that they would be able to exercise their trust in you so that you could grow them. And Lord, now they're asking for help. They're not asking you to remove it. They're just asking for your strength so that they would obey. Lord, there's some people in here that are going to have to walk 6 days. Maybe even a seventh day before something happens. Lord, for Jonah, it was just one message. And the wall fell. For Daniel, it was one night. Lord, it's all different for everybody. But the answer is the same for anybody. Would you please help them? Would you help us to remember and renew and reclaim? As God's spoken to your heart tonight, would you just take a minute or two by yourself, spend some time with the Lord?